Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Everybody, it's Austin with the Thinking Kingdom Podcast. Got an awesome episode with you today. I'm here, of course, with my co-host, Nate Miller. Say hi, Nate.
Hey, everybody.
And we're here with one of our favorite teachers and people of all time, Dr. Dan Owen. Now, he probably would hate me introducing him like that, but, you know, he's an awesome brother in Christ, an awesome teacher, and just a great person. I love getting to talk with you, brother. Every chance that we get, I know your time is very valuable to you, and you can tell the audience how awesome Austin and Nate were as students, and that Austin was your favorite student of all time.
Not now, McCracker.
They need to know.
Oh, that yes, they're beautiful. Nate and Austin are just wonderful people, and they have no problems at all. Anyway, let's get down to the real truth together.
Yeah. All right. So today we're going to be talking about. Dan, I'm going to link the episode in our YouTube page, but Dan and Jed did a conversation with Dan episode discussing kind of faith and how the authors use faith a little differently, the different senses of faith. And we'll talk about that here in a bit. We're going to go ahead and do versal with you, Dan, and I'm going to pull up versal. You're not going to be able to see the reference, but you'll hear the reference and you can tell me where it's at. Nate, if you feel like you need to pop in here, we're going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to pull up versal for everybody to see.
I don't think I will be needed on this one.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Dan, here's the reference, and you tell us where it's at. The king said to her, it's in the NIV, so it may sound a little different than what you remember. The king said to her, don't be afraid, what do you see? The woman said, I see a ghostly figure coming up out of the earth.
Well, you're talking about 1 Samuel 28, is it, where Saul is with the medium of Endor?
Yes, sir. I think that's correct. Now, what chapter? I don't know. So you're thinking 28. You got a verse in there for me, you think?
Nope.
Okay. Let's just pick 15 to get rid of some numbers. Wow. We've got, everybody can see on the screen. You can, obviously, Dan, but we got 1 Samuel. That's correct. Chapter 28. Very good work. And so it's in the teens or the tens. So it's we got the one right. So it says, okay. Hint, the verse comes earlier in the Bible than your last guess. So it's going to be verse 10 through 14. So we can just guess along. Do you think it's before or after that? Well, it's obviously before that, so... Let's go ahead and do 1 Samuel 28. What do you think? Split the difference, 13?
11.
11. Dan says 11. Comes later. 1 Samuel 28.
Yeah, I've got the paper in front of me. Not the paper, but in my mind, I can just see a paragraph. I can't see a verse.
That's a common thing with a lot of our guests say, I can see it now in my Bible. It's 1 Samuel 28:13. That's good work right there. Versal in three. That was a little bit of fun game that we like to play with our guests just to...
You cheated on the Old Testament, McCrickard.
I didn't. You're the one who told me. You're the one who told me 1 Samuel 28.
I know, but...
I knew the reference, at least with Saul going to the Endor witch. So anyways, we're... moving forward with faith in the Bible, specifically the New Testament, and how John the Apostle, the Hebrew writer, and Paul uses the term faith. I think my favorite teaching that, or one of the foundational teachings that I learned at Bear Valley that you harped upon, is that words only have meaning in whatever way the author uses that word. So
it's just...
And you give plenty of examples, but talk a little bit about that foundational teaching and truth and maybe how that kind of plays into Bible study.
Okay, well, you know, to use a different example, take the word righteousness. You know, in Matthew 6, be careful that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. So righteousness is what you do in keeping the commandments of God in Matthew 6. In Romans 5:17, righteousness is a gift that God gives you. So you have the same word in the original language and in English, and yet it's used in two totally different ways by those two totally different authors. There's no contradiction, because if you just read what they're trying to say, it's fine. But the way an author uses a word defines the word. You don't go to a dictionary and find one meaning.
Right.
And that, go ahead.
Well, you know, that could be a pretty grave error on our part, just to simply go to a dictionary and just say that's, you know, the first dictionary definition is the one that's applied throughout everywhere.
Right, or you go to a concordance and you look up righteousness and you just go down through all the scriptures that are in that concordance, and then you try to make them all fit together when they're on different topics sometimes. So
yeah. And the example that you give in class often is, you know, how we use the word cool today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Nathan is cool.
Yeah.
McRickard is not that cool. Well, he's cool too. All right.
I mean, That was you were acting very cool to me, Dan.
Yes, I'm sorry. Cool it.
Yes. So
I was talking to someone, I think I was talking to Colton Balance the other day about how we view the Bible with such like woodenness, like it closed in those two leather covers.
Yeah.
There's no play in anything, and we forget that they were real people. You know, Paul and John and Peter were real people. They used words similar to us. There's so much play. Mm-hmm. While every word is inspired, they wrote with their writing styles, and you know, right. We're reading, as Colton Balance talks about, how Wayne Berger always says, we're reading other people's mail, and we forget that, and that helps us with the context thing, or
that's
the
a great point.
Usage of words.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into our study today. Like I said, I'll link the conversation with Dan episode that I'm talking about in the YouTube channel. So Dan, let's talk about how maybe John uses the word faith.
Okay.
I know the Gospel of John, you love a lot. I love it just because of the spiritual messaging that's there about who our Lord and Savior is. So how is the Gospel, how is John the Apostle using faith in that book?
Well, the word faith or believe is the verb form. Faith is the noun form, same word, pistuo, pistos. And so the whole purpose statement of the book is, you know, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that as you keep on believing, you may have life in his name, John 20, 30, and 31. So the book of John was written to get people to believe on Jesus Christ. So then what does that mean? One of my favorite verses there is John 1, 12 and 13.
Okay, I'll pull that up.
Because in that passage, he says, talking about Jesus, as many as received him, to them he gave power to be children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So to receive Jesus seems to be the same as to believe on Jesus, seems to be the same as to be born of God. So all those things seem to be kind of the same thing. So John seems to use the word believe as a global type word to describe our complete response to Jesus Christ. Very differently, I know you're not talking about James, but very differently than what James would use when he says the devils believe and tremble. This is totally a different usage. He's talking about a total welcoming of Jesus into one's life, a total trusting of Jesus, which carries through life in John 3:36. He that believes on the Son of God has life, but he that does not obey the Son, you know, so believing includes obeying. So believing includes everything that we do in a complete acceptance of Jesus in our life. And in that purpose statement at the end of the book, you know, he says, and that believing you may have life. So believe is not a step. It is a continual lifestyle, you know. So it's a transformative, it's a totally transformative accepting of Jesus into your life that changes everything you do. It's the word he uses for the whole nut is what I'm trying to say.
Man, there's so much that I like there. The whole believing is not just a step. It's a lifestyle. It's taking, embracing, living out, trusting him. Mm-hmm. Would you say that that's how, when people talk about faith today, they're more so thinking about how John is using faith? Or do you think that they're maybe talking about how the demons have faith and believe in Jesus?
Well, they use it in all kinds of different ways.
When somebody says, I believe in Jesus, what do you think they mean?
Well, I will then ask them.
Okay.
Yeah, what they mean, because people come from so many different religious backgrounds,
yeah,
that when they say that, some are coming from a Calvinistic background, some who might have been atheists are saying now they've crossed over into where they're convicted about Jesus. So they may have completely different things in mind. You can't just tell by
how they're using it.
You see what I'm talking about there, Nate, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you think there's danger in our steps of salvation lingo? I know you probably do. What do you think a better way to talk about this is? And do you think we could come up with something more accurate that envelops?
Yeah, I would say that we don't just hear one time, we keep hearing. We begin our journey of trusting when we're convicted. We enter another stage of trusting when our thinking is changed or we're converted. We enter another stage of believing when we commit ourselves. And we even enter another stage when we begin to play it out in action. So all of those are, they may have a starting point, but they are continuous. Even repentance, we don't just repent once. I know, you know, Nate, you and I know Austin enough that he has to repent all the time. But we have to repent all the time as we go forward in life. So it's not a step. It's a process that begins.
Yeah.
But you know, in the coming to Christ, we're initially being convicted and initially deciding to trust. That's faith. But again, it depends on where we're reading. So you asked me about John. John was a tract, you might say, to bring people to accept Jesus and trust him in their life. That's what it was for. Now then, Paul is writing to people who have supposedly already done that, and he's telling them about faith versus works.
Well, that's a good segue, I think, into maybe the Romans' use of faith, or how Paul maybe uses faith in his letters. So where's some good verses to kind of get a sense of how Paul is using belief, trust, or faith?
Yeah, so in Romans, the most stark verse that you might have, if you start in Romans 4, starting in verse 1, the Jewish readers were questioning some of what Paul was saying, and so he says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has discovered? For if Abraham was made righteous by works, he has room to boast, but not toward God. But what does the scripture say? It says Abraham believed God, and it, his faith, was credited to him as righteousness. Now this next part, to him that works, the reward is not credited as of grace, but as of debt. But to him that does not work, but believes on the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So he contrasts the one who works with the one who does not work but believes. And that makes a lot of people on our end nervous, But what Paul means by those things, if you read the book, which I recommend you read the whole book, not just, you know, but if you read the book, he says that believing is trusting God to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. When Paul says works, he means thinking you can earn your salvation or put God in your debt so that God owes you salvation by the things that you've done. And he says that's just categorically not true. Romans 1:16, you know, the gospel is the power to save everyone who believes. Then verse 17 says about the gospel, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. And I believe Paul means by that it's by faith from first to last, and it's not by works. See, because he talks about, you know, throughout this, that law can't save you, Romans 3:20, that we've been made righteous by faith, Romans 5:1. And so, you know, when Paul says, like Ephesians, you guys, Nate and Austin, have been studying Ephesians, by grace have you been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's not of works. See the contrast again, faith and works. So if you're reading Paul, you're looking at the contrast, not the holding hands, but the contrast between faith and works.
You're saying holding hands of, explain what you mean. It's not the holding hands, but the contrast. You're saying the contrast of faith as opposed to works.
Right, like Romans 4:4-5, to him that worketh not but believes, you know. You're looking at a contrast.
Yeah, I got you.
If you're reading James doesn't use the words the same way. So he talks about somebody already a Christian, somebody who's already, you know, they're walking around as Christians, claiming to be Christians, and yet during this conflict, whatever it was, it's a background of James, they're not acting like Christians. And so he says, you say you have faith.
Yeah.
But if your lifestyle, if your actions don't show that you're trusting God to do what God wants you to do, that's the way James uses works. That's not the way that Paul uses faith and works.
Yeah. So go ahead, Nate. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that the usage of words and the different usages of words is unique to books or authors? So what I mean by that is that, you know what I'm saying? Our Ephesians and Romans faith is the same, and Galatians and...
Yeah, yeah, Romans and Galatians and Ephesians would be very similar in the way faith is treated, though I'm not going to put a blanket statement, because in the event that an author takes a different discussion or takes a different turn in the discussion, he may use the words differently, but the common use of faith and works in Paul is the contrast. And John uses faith like as the global... You know, the global response, he uses it just a little bit different, maybe some similar, but a little different way he goes about it than Paul. James is different. You know, James is like more Jewish in his thinking, and he doesn't really, he wouldn't contradict, because who was it in Acts 15 that stood up and told the rest of the Jerusalem conference that we can't expect the Gentiles to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, because we know that we're all saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And he's the one that stood up and said, this is the end of the matter. And that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was thinking back to Nate's question with authors using words. I guess one example that popped up in my mind is, in 2 Corinthians 3, there's letters of recommendation, then there's the letter, the literal reading and understanding of the Old Testament. He doesn't use the letter, the word letter, even the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just between a couple of verses.
Right.
You know, so anyways. Well, I think we segue into the Hebrew writer, which is... very significant, and I mean, they're all significant, but the messaging of Hebrews is so beautiful. We've just got done with the study of Hebrews. I love this book, and I love what you brought out in not only our master's class, but our Bear Valley class in the book. Let's talk about faith in Hebrews and what that looks like.
Okay. Let's put it this way. The emphasis in Hebrews is about faithfulness. And so as opposed to as opposed to just the concept of trust, which it includes that, or the concept of being convicted, the real emphasis in Hebrews is about continuing and not quitting. So like in Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 7, he talks about the Israelites, you know, in the wilderness and how they hardened their hearts and they went astray in their hearts and God was not pleased with them and said they would never enter into his rest. And then he says, take heed, brethren, so that in none of you, you know, because of an evil, unbelieving or unfaithful heart, you should fall away from the living God. Well, see, he's talking about falling away, not staying the course. You know, in the latter part of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, starting in about verse 36, you have need of endurance so that having done the will of God, you may inherit the promises. For in yet a little while, he that is coming will come and will not delay, and my righteous one will live by faith. But if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that shrink back, but of those that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Well, he's talking about enduring for the long haul. And he brings up from Habakkuk, you know, the statement, the righteous shall live by faith. But he means by faithfulness, because faithfulness means you keep on going instead of you shrink back and quit. Mm. And then he goes into the, you know, to the whole crowd of the faithful in chapter 11. And then he puts the bookend on it in chapter 12 by saying, now we've got to run with endurance the race that is set before us. So endurance is a synonym in the book of Hebrews for faith or faithfulness. Most of the time in Hebrews, this is a generalization, but most of the time in Hebrews, the word believe or faith means faithful. It means keeping on, keeping on, you know, not quitting before it's done. And another word that's similar, that's still commenting on that Old Testament passage in chapter 3 about the Israelites falling in the desert, is Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. So there, diligence is a synonym for faithfulness.
Yeah. See, the ESV translation has strive, but same word.
Yep, spudazzo is the word, and it means to try really hard, to keep trying really hard. Well, as long as you have that mental posture of I'm locked in, I'm still trying really hard, I'm really working at it, that's faithfulness. See, you haven't backed off of that. You haven't shrunk back from that. You're being faithful about your spiritual life. So that's Hebrews.
I feel like, listen, people. So, Dan is a student of the Word, and I don't know if you can tell, he doesn't have a Bible in front of him, so he's just quoting these verses as it's on his heart, which is really important. I mean, he's probably got a Bible in front of him, but he's quoting from his mind, and he's really wrestled with the text, and that's what I appreciate about Dan, not only as a teacher, but as a student, is, and how we all should be approaching God's Word as students, is wrestling with how these authors are using words, how John is wanting you to embrace and trust and welcome Jesus and hold on to him, maybe as an initial fact, but also with the continual of obedience, as we talked about in chapter 3, verse 36. Mm-hmm. You know, Romans, it's contrasted pretty starkly with the works, where the Jews and the Pharisees thought, hey, because I did this, God, you owe me this. Paul says, that's not how it goes. You need to trust God to give you the righteousness, because all of us have sinned. We're all in a bad place, but you need to trust God to make you righteous. You don't need to trust in your own righteousness. And how the Hebrew writer is saying, listen, you need to be diligent. You don't need to just shrink back at any little bit of suffering. If you want to go back to the old way of life, Catholicism or Judaism or Islam, you need to be diligent and hold onto your faithfulness with confidence to the end in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. The way you succinctly put that and the way that you are able to go through the whole book and every book is just something that's so awesome to me. And I know many of our teachers do this and they do show us this, but Nate, you talk about big picture a lot, and no doubt you maybe got that from Dan, and we like the Bible Project. They think in big picture. And you do a Seeing the Forest, you did one seminar, and that was just so enlightening to see the Bible in its most general, just take a step back. Either of you can comment on that.
Go ahead, Nate.
I think I didn't get it in my undergrad at when I was at Bear Valley. Like I was more into take a passage, you know, take 6 or 8 verses and connect that. And I was all about it. And there's a place for that. You know, we all know that there's a place for that. And that's good. But I think I really started making leaps and bounds in my understanding whenever it took me in the master's courses in Romans and Revelation, and Luke and Acts did it too, but specifically Romans and Revelation with you connecting the themes. And it's not just about the Greek root words, but it's about the ideas. And sometimes Paul and John use different words to talk about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, seeing those things and also just reading. It takes reading the book a couple of times in one sitting, and you can't, we look at things so like academically and concordancy, and it takes just sitting down and reading it and seeing the ideas, not just the word.
Yeah. In other words, but what you're saying is, where's this author really going in this book? What's he really talking about in the book? And faithfulness is what he's really talking about in the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
How God gives us his righteousness when we trust him to do what we can't do for ourselves is what he's talking about in Romans. And John is just using that word faith as just the global word to talk about how somebody who doesn't have Jesus really totally accepts Jesus into their life to change everything about it. So that might summarize our little chat here in a nice way.
I don't know if there's really much more that needs to be said. I encourage you to go back to that conversation. Please add the conversations with Dan playlist to your Bible study throughout the week. You will greatly benefit from it so much, I promise you. And Dan, you are, I'm going to link your new YouTube channel also in our YouTube.
We're going to come out in January with some things that we've already done several programs there. So
Danny, that's the mixing of Danny and Denny and Dan's mind. You guys did he told me that you guys did a little something on Romans 8:28. So
yeah, we did that, and it was on predestination in Romans 8:28. That'll be on there. Yep.
Also, I'm holding up, Dan is also an author. He writes some teacher's commentary. He has those available. I'll probably try to provide a link that you can purchase some of his teaching commentary on Hebrews, Romans, and the Corinthian letters. Very approachable if you're teaching through it in a quarter. You have to have these resources because Dan has provided it and wrote in such a way that it's very simple to understand, connecting themes. And it's just an excellent resource for your library if you're going to be teaching through these letters. And he's going to have one coming up, hopefully, on the book of Revelation as well. So that's all I got. Listeners, thank you for listening. Like and share this podcast. And, you know, I've got a couple extra copies, maybe, of his commentary. We may do a giveaway of a commentary here in a little bit. So thank you for listening. We're going to log off here and we'll begin our outro. Have a good one.
Bye, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
If you would like to know more about the work of Excel Stillmore, be sure to check out our website at excelstillmore.net, subscribe to our newsletter, and register for the Excel Stillmore Bible Workshop today.